Revelation chapter 17. I want to pick up at verse 1 and read in the New King James Version. It's a chapter that's filled with a lot of information for us. Of course, we'll not get through the entire chapter tonight. And for the sake of time, let's just read through verse 6. I don't think we'll get perhaps much further than that. Revelation 17, beginning in verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Revelation 17 and in verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. One of the seven angels, of course, this goes back in the context. If you haven't been with us, to chapter 15 and verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God or the anger of God is complete. It will be finished. It is fulfilled. Revelation 16 and verse 1. We saw the seven bowls of wrath being poured out by those seven angels in chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 1, Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath or the anger of God on the earth that is upon the land, that is upon the land of Israel. Revelation 17 then, and in verse 1, the seven angels, one of those angels, came and talked with John, saying, Come and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. The great harlot. The great harlot, of course, in the context of what we've been studying, is Great Babylon. It is the city of Jerusalem. Revelation 16, verse 19. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Revelation 17 in verse 5, And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots of the abominations of the earth. So this judgment of the great harlot, the great harlot being Great Babylon, and we could go back and look at other occasions in which this is also mentioned later on in chapter 17 and chapter 18. It says that she sits on many waters. Chapter 17, and in verse 15, tells us what those waters are. We don't have to suppose what the waters are. Chapter 17, and verse 15, the divine commentary says, Then he said to me, The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this great harlot sits on many waters. The waters are peoples, nations, multitudes, tongues. That is, people of different languages. So she sits on them. That is, she's carried by them, so to speak. Well, who are these waters? Who are these people? If the great harlot is the city of Jerusalem, and she sits on many waters, and the many waters are many people, perhaps ought to remind us of Acts 2 and in verse 5 and following on the day of Pentecost. Luke records in Acts 2 and in verse 5, And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these who speak Galileans?" Note this now. "And how is it that we hear each in our own language or in our own tongue in which we were born? Parthenians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya and also adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes," that is Gentiles to proselyted to Judaism, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So this woman, Jerusalem, great Babylon, is sitting on many waters, many people. The Jewish people were spread throughout nations around the known world at that time. Remember, in ages past, the Assyrians had taken them into Syrian captivity, that is the northern 10 tribes of Israel, and scattered them around the known world. Then the Babylonians took them in the Babylonian captivity and scattered them around the world. Jews were all over the place. And come the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from 13 different nations, you might say here, in Jerusalem on that day. And so the city of Jerusalem sits on many waters, on many people. She's referred to as a harlot, the great harlot. And the harlotries and the abominations of no other people and no other city can compare to those of Israel and Jerusalem in God's sight, because he was married to her. Isaiah 1 and in verse 21, "How the faithful city has become a harlot." Note that. Isaiah 1 and 21. In Isaiah's day, the prophet Isaiah referred to the city of Jerusalem as a harlot. Now, why did he refer to as a harlot? Because she prostituted herself. Jerusalem was the capital city of the people of God, just as it is in the first century. It's the capital city of the people of God, the nation of Israel. And she has prostituted herself. Instead of being married to God, though she is, she's gone out and committed spiritual adultery. She's acted as a prostitute or a harlot. And that's why the prophets referred to her as such. Isaiah 57 and verse 3 and following. "But come here, you sons of the sorceress, you offspring of the adulterer and the harlot." Note that. The people of Jerusalem were referred to as adulterers and offspring of the harlot. We'll see later on here in the text that we're reading, chapter 17 in the book of Revelation, and in verse 5, she's referred to as the mother of harlots. Why? Because she produces offspring that engage in spiritual adultery. That's why she's referred to as the mother of harlots. She produces harlots. We'll get to that later on. Jeremiah 2 and in verse 20, "For of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not transgress, when on every high hill and under every green tree you laid down and played the harlot." Now, make sure we understand what's being spoken of here. The fornication or a harlotry is not a woman going out and committing fornication. The fornication in the context, as we're going to see, is spiritual adultery. That's what's under consideration. She's married to God, but what does she do? She connects herself to nations and people who are engaged in idolatrous practices, and she becomes the same way. She worships idols. Jeremiah 2 and in verse 25, "Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope. No, for I have loved aliens, and after them I will go. As a thief is ashamed when he is found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of your trouble, for according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. And we could go on and read several other passages as you have time. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Consider Jeremiah 13 and verse 27. I have seen your adulteries and your lustful neighings, the lewdness of your harlotry, the abominations on the hills in the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! Will you still not be made clean? Ezekiel 6 and in verse 9. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations. One more, Micah 1, verse 7 and following. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces. All her pay as a harlot shall be burned with the fire. All her idols I will lay desolate. For she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. For her wounds are incurable. For it has come to Judah. It has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. Over and over again, we can read in the Old Testament prophets where Jerusalem and Israel were referred to as harlots. That's who's under consideration here. When Christians in the first century read this book, and they considered this city as it is referred to in the context of the book of Revelation, they would see the city of Jerusalem. How would they see it? Because they could look at it in the Old Testament Scripture. Same kind of language used in regard to it. Used in the book of Revelation. Revelation 17 now and in verse 2. Revelation 17 and in verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, that is the land, were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. Physical fornication? No. The kings of the earth committed spiritual adultery with her. Now, other nations were not married to God. The Gentile nations that Jerusalem would play up to and rely on instead of relying on God. Remember, several times we read in the Old Testament Scriptures where instead of relying upon God, God's people would sometimes turn to Egypt for help. They'd sometime turn to Assyria for help. Sometimes before they taken away into Babylonian captivity, they would turn to the Babylonians for help. They were committing fornication with the nations around them because they would turn to them for help and they would bow to their gods. They became like the nations around about them. And so with whom, that is this great harlot, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, again, spiritual harlotry. And the inhabitants of the earth, that is the land, were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now this committed fornication is an Old Testament Hebrewism, meaning to be given to adultery, to worship idols. We've seen it even from the very beginning of the study of Revelation. Revelation 2 and in verse 14 to the church of Pergamos, the Lord Himself said, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." Now, if you know the account of Balaam and Balak, it's not that they committed physical sexual immorality, though they did, but it led them off into spiritual adultery. They committed spiritual fornication to the church at Thyatira. In Revelation 2 and in verse 10, the Lord said, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, and they eat things sacrificed to idols. Again, sexual immorality there has to do with idolatry. And that's what's under consideration here in our text, Revelation 17 and verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. They committed idolatry with her, with the city of Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, of the tribes of those who made up the tribe of Manasseh, it was said in 1 Chronicles 5 and in verse 25. And they were unfaithful to the God of their fathers, and played the harlot after the gods of the people of the land whom God had destroyed before them. Yes, the people of Manasseh, 1 Chronicles 5 and verse 25, instead of going in and taking the land and then destroying the people in the land, as God told them to do, they played the harlot with the people of the land. They committed fornication with the people of the land. Not physical fornication, but they engaged in idolatry with them. That's the point. In Psalm 73 and in verse 27, the psalmist said, "For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all of those who desert you for idolatry." Jeremiah 3 and in verse 6, Jeremiah said, "The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king," one of the best kings of Judah, "have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot." She's gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree. Now somebody might get the idea, well, people are going out and committing physical fornication on the mountains and under the green tree. No. On the mountains were places of worship. Under the green trees were trees that had usually been carved into idolatrous images. And the ones that had not been carved into idolatrous images were in the wooded areas on the mountains. Of the city of Jerusalem, it was said in Ezekiel 23 and in verse 19, "Yet she multiplied her harlotry in calling to remembrance the days of her youth." Hosea said in Hosea 9 in verse 1, "Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples, for you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threshing floor." So can there be any doubt that the great harlot is apostate Israel, represented by the city of Jerusalem? The Roman Empire, nor the city of Rome, was ever married to God. That being the case, how could Rome commit spiritual idolatry? The reason I bring Rome into this is some people see the great harlot here as Rome or the Roman Empire. But remember, there hasn't been but one people before Christians who were married to God. And the only ones who are married to God are the ones who could commit spiritual harlotry. Rome couldn't commit spiritual harlotry. They were pagans. They weren't Christians. Now, there were some Christians in Rome, but people come to this passage and they say, the great harlot here is Rome. It's the Roman Empire. But it's Jerusalem. It's apostate Israel. It's in harmony with the rest of the teaching of the book of Revelation, Revelation 17 and verse 3. "So he carried me away," that is the angel, one of the seven angels, "so he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now I want you to look at this verse very carefully and very closely. The first thing I want us to notice from this verse, look at it very carefully in your Bible. The verse says, "There is a woman." I saw a woman. A woman. The verse also says, "There is a beast." I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. So there is a woman and there is a beast. The woman is not the beast, and the beast is not the woman. That's important for us to understand that. So we'll note the clear distinction between the beast and the woman in these verses and the chapters to come. But let's just note a couple. Revelation 17 and verse 7, the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her." So you see the distinction there? Clear distinction. I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast. Now what do we tell people about Mark 16 and in verse 16? "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized." Well, there's a woman here and there's a beast. And as we read on in this chapter, the angel is going to disclose the mystery of both the beast and the woman. Again, a distinction. Revelation 17 and verse 16. "The ten horns which you saw on the beast." Note this. I want you to look very carefully at this verse. "The ten horns which you saw on the beast will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Now if you have a pencil, you might want to mark this. You might want to mark this in your Bible, especially if you're reading from King James or New King James. If you're reading from the English Standard Version, you see the point already. The New King James Version says, "And the ten horns which you saw on the beast." On the beast. The English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, Christian Standard Bible, and others say, "And the beast." So the English Standard Version, "And the ten horns which you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute," that is the harlot. New American Standard Bible, "The ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot." New International Version, "The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute." My point here is the woman and the harlot are different. They're not the same. The beast hates the harlot. And the beast is going to lay waste to the harlot, the great city Babylon, the city of Jerusalem. Again, New American Standard Bible, "And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot, will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and will burn her with fire." So we see a distinction between those. They can't be the same because the beast is going to destroy the woman. The woman is riding the beast, but eventually the beast is going to destroy the woman, make her desolate. Who is the woman? Revelation 17 and verse 18, "And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." That's the woman, the great city. Now, what have we read already in the book of Revelation about the great city? What about Revelation 11 and verse 8? "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Revelation 11 and verse 8. The great city is the city in which our Lord was crucified. The city in which our Lord was crucified is Jerusalem. Revelation 11, 14, 8. "And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city which she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So Babylon is referred to as great. And this harlot here is referred to as Babylon the Great. So the harlot and Babylon the Great are the same. The harlot, the Babylon the Great, and the city of Jerusalem are all the same. Revelation 16 and verse 19. "Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations failed, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wineness of the fierce of His wrath." It's the city of Jerusalem. So the woman, I believe, the harlot, I believe, according to Scripture, is the city of Jerusalem. spoken of as a harlot many, many times in the Old Testament scriptures. Well, who is the beast then, if the woman is the city of Jerusalem? This great harlot is riding the beast. Well, we've already identified the beast back in chapter 13, remember? Same identifying characteristics as the beast here in chapter 17. Revelation 13 in verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horn 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. And when we studied that, we said that was the Roman Empire. Remember, there was a beast that rose up out of the sea, the Roman Empire. There was a beast that rose up out of the land, the false prophet, or all things false in the name of religion. And then there was the great fiery red dragon in that chapter, Satan himself, the triad of evil. And so the great harlot is riding on the beast. The beast is carrying the city of Jerusalem. But the beast, being the Roman Empire, as we read earlier, is going to hate the harlot. Again, chapter 17 in verse 16, and the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her with fire. That's what the Roman Empire did. They destroyed the harlot. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and they did literally burn it with fire. Moving on, Revelation 17 and verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. The woman, Jerusalem, decked out in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Jerusalem here is pictured as a woman dressed in the attire of a harlot. Do you not see that? She's referred to as the great harlot, and she's dressed like a harlot, dressed like a prostitute, as some versions render the word prostitute instead of harlot. Now, most of us understand that language about people being dressed as a prostitute. But what about the language of the Old Testament scriptures? Did any prophet ever describe Jerusalem of old in such a way? Certainly did. Jeremiah 4 and in verse 30. Jeremiah 4 and in verse 30. So we have a prophet that described Jerusalem in ages past dressed like a prostitute. Why? Because she was the mother of harlots. Jeremiah 4 and in verse 30. And when you are plundered, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself with cinnamon, though you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with paint, in vain you will make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. So Jeremiah said, Jerusalem of old, though she would dress like a harlot, her lovers would despise you and they would seek your life. That's exactly what is going to happen to the city of Jerusalem. She has played the part of a harlot, and her lover, the Roman Empire, is going to despise her and take her life. Here in Revelation 17 and verse 4, in her hand a golden cup full of abominations. Abominations are things that are detestable and loathsome to God. When we read about abominations in the Old Testament scriptures, several things are said to be an abomination to God. But one of the things most clearly shown to be an abomination to God is idolatry. 1 Kings 21 and verse 26. And he, that is King Ahab, king of Israel, and he, Ahab, behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So King Ahab committed abominations in the sight of God because he practiced idolatry. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 8. And when Asa, king of Israel, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the venerable of the Lord. Asa, I think he was king of Judah, not Israel. But he removed all the abominable idols. Jeremiah 4 in verse 1. If you return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. If you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. Put away your abominations. Put away your idols out of my sight. So in her cup, in her hand was a golden cup full of abominations. Just simply have reference to the abominations associated with idolatrous practices. And then it says the filthiness of her fornication. Remember, fornication here symbolically stands for idolatry, for forsaking the true God in order to worship idols. Revelation 17 and in verse 5. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth that is of the land. On her forehead a name was written, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots. She produces harlots. Her offspring are harlots. They commit spiritual adultery. Jeremiah 3 and in verse 1 and following. They say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return to me, says the Lord. You see how God wanted Jerusalem and Israel? They were married to him, and she had played the harlot with many nations. Return to me. Give up idolatry. I'm the true and the living God. He wanted them back. They didn't want to come back. Verse 2, Jeremiah 3. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see. Where have you not lain with men? By the road you have set for them, like an Arabian in the wilderness. And you have polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld. And there has been no rain. You have had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. You have had a harlot's forehead. But here in Revelation 17 and verse 5, on her forehead a name was written. So Israel of old was said to have a harlot's forehead. Now, what does that mean? The picture seems to be of someone who refuses to be ashamed. It's an appearance which shows a lack of proper embarrassment. But how this relates to the forehead is not actually known. It is possible that Jeremiah may have reference to some trademark on the head of a harlot of his day. Sometimes we can look at women on the street and we could perhaps make a judgment and say that perhaps may be a harlot, prostitute, because of the identifying characteristics. And there may have been some kind of identifying characteristic in Jeremiah's day to say, you have had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Now, we've read on other occasions, though, in the book of Revelation, where there was a mark on the forehead of some, those who belong to God, those who belong to the beast, those who worship the beast. Remember, a mark was put on them? Not a literal mark, but there was some kind of identifying characteristic that showed that they belonged to God, or they were worshipers of the Roman Empire, worshippers of the beast, worshippers of idolatry. And so it might be, here in Revelation 17 and verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written. There could have been something on her head that have indicated that she was a harlot for all to see. But here the picture is, and the words written is mystery. That is, it's hidden. It's secret. But what's the angel, one of the angels who poured out the seven bowls of wrath, going to do? He's going to show John who this woman is. He's going to show John who this beast is. And so it will be a mystery no longer. So on her head right now, written mystery, Babylon the Great. So Babylon the Great here is that woman sitting on the beast. Again, they cannot be the same, the beast and the woman. So Babylon the Great is the woman, is the great harlot. Here she's referred to as the mother of harlots, already spoken about that, because she produces harlots. Jerusalem, like the Jerusalem of old, was the mother of harlots. Ezekiel 16 in verse 44. Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, that is, against Jerusalem. Like mother, like daughter. You are your mother's daughter, loathing husband and children, and you are the sister of your sisters who loathe their husbands and children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Your elder sister is Samaria, who dwells with her daughters to the north of you. And your younger sister, who dwells to the south of you, is Sodom and her daughters. You did not walk in their ways, nor act according to their abominations, but as if that were too little, note this, you became more corrupt than they in all your ways. As I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. So Jerusalem of old was said to produce daughters, those who committed harlotry right along with her. And she's referred to then as the mother of harlots. Cannot be any doubt that it is the city of Jerusalem. Then the last phrase in Revelation 17 and verse 5, and the abominations of the earth. I believe the earth there should be of the land, of the abominations of the land. One of the things that God declared was an abomination in the land of Israel was the shedding of innocent blood. And that's what this great harlot did. And the abominations of the land. To shed innocent blood was an abomination to God, and apostate Israel did it. Proverbs 6 and in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. An abomination to Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 106 and verse 34. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to idols of Cana, and the land was polluted with blood. You see what the psalmist said about Israel when they went into the land of Canaan? They didn't destroy the Gentiles' nations like God told them to do. What did they do? Well, they mingled with the Gentiles and they learned their works and they served their idols and they sacrificed their children to their idols. They shed innocent blood, which was an abomination to God. Jeremiah 22 and in verse 3. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness and deliver the plunderer out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong, do no evil to the stranger, the fatherless or the widows, nor shed innocent blood in this place. 2 Kings 21 and verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Jerusalem shed the innocent blood of her prophets, her Lord and her saints. This is another way in which she was the producer of the abominations of the land. She shed innocent blood. And so what do we see in the very next verse, and we're out of time? I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of martyrs and Jesus. Martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. We'll have to pick up there next Wednesday evening because we're out of time. But I think you see how this great harlot filled the land with abominations. The abominations associated with idolatry. The abominations of shedding innocent blood. Their own blood. The Jews slaughtered their own people. Sacrificed their own children to idols. And now they're going to give an account for it. We come to the New Testament. What did they do? Well, God would send them prophets. They would persecute the prophets, stone them, put them to death. Eventually, God sent His own Son. And what did they do? They shed His blood. And then what did they do after that? They shed the blood of the apostles. They shed the blood of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. We only need to read the book of Acts to see that to be the case. Out of time. Questions or comments over the things we went over tonight? Thank you very much for your kind attention. We'll pick up here in Revelation 17, verse 6, next Wednesday evening.